star of An Invisible Empire, Om Jean Pavelsko, author, Alexander Dugin, translator, Victor Olevich. 1. Profession, visionary. Jean Pavelsko is a living mystery of European literature. Mysticist, poet, novelist, literary critic, connoisseur of political intrigue, revolutionary, friend and confidant of many European celebrities of the latter half of the 20th century, from Ezra Pound and Julius Evola to Raymond Debellio and Arno Breker. His true personality remains a mystery. A Romanian who fled to the West in the 1940s, he became one of the most brilliant French stylists in contemporary prose and poetry. But no matter how different were his works, from tantric stanzas and complex occult novels to biographies of eminent friends, in particular Reda, son of Raymond Debellio, his real calling was visionary, direct and inspired contemplator of spiritual spheres, opened to the chosen behind the sullen and trivial appearance of contemporary profane world. At the same time, Pavelsko does not have anything in common with vulgar representatives of contemporary neo-mysticism, so widespread today as some sort of an instrumental compensation for technotronic informational routine of everyday life. Pavelsko's vision is gloomy and tragic. He has absolutely no illusions concerning the hellish, infernal nature of contemporary world. In this sense, he is most likely a traditionalist. He is completely alien to the infantile optimism of theosophers and occultists, and pseudo-mystical goggles of the New Age. But unlike many traditionalists with an academic temperament, he does not limit himself to skeptical preaching about the crisis of the modern world and empty-worded, marginal condemnation of materialist civilization of the end of Kali Yuga. Jean Pavelsko's texts are filled with the sacral, which speaks in them directly, through a dream-like, almost prophetic level of strange revelation, visitation, breaking out of higher spheres through magical blockade of dark energies, which fill today's world of collective and cosmic psyche. Pavelsko is an authentic visionary, deep enough and ideologically prepared not to accept the first phantoms of subtle reality to come across, for messengers of light, but at the same time straining to the limit his intuition in a dangerous and risky voyage inwards, to the center of the black lake of modern soul, without fear of going beyond norms fixed by rational dogmatics. Here originate the multi-level paradoxes that fill Pavelsko's books. Pavelsko's message can be defined in this way: the sacral has disappeared from daily reality of modern world, and it is completely obvious that we live in the end of times, but the sacral has not vanished, since it could not vanish theoretically, as it is eternal, but was transferred to a nightly, invisible projection, and is now ready to come down on human physical cosmos in a terrible apocalyptic moment of apogee of history, at a point when the world that forgot about its spiritual nature and disowned it will be forced to meet with it in a brutal flash of revelation. As long as this has not taken place, and humanity peacefully sleeps in its dark, materialist illusions, only the chosen, visionaries, members of the secret brotherhood, the apocalyptic order, keep awake, secretly preparing ways for the coming of the last hour, heavenly kingdom, the great empire of the end. Jean Pavelsko sees in himself not a literary figure, but the herald of this invisible empire. His last book is called Star of an Invisible Empire, Speaker of the Occult Parliament, consisting of the planetary elite of the awakened. His personality doubles, triples, quadruples in characters of his novels, among which the author himself has a place, along with his doubles, occult duplicates, and real historical personalities, otherworldly shades, shells of external twilight, nominal demons, secret agents of occult special services. Pavelsko opens an entire parallel world, not just stage decoration of individual fantasies or reminiscences. His texts are populated with frightening reality. His strange, often quite black, humor at times touches on the holy relics of religions, dogmas and canons, awakening their inner, mysterious essence, ridden of spiritually devastating fetishist reverence. Following tantric perceptions, Pavelsko vivifies the language, makes it operative. That is why his texts are something more than literature. It is the magical spells and scandalous denunciations, it is the provocation of events and foretelling of their meaning, it is submergence into the ocean of the interior, subterranean tunnels of the hidden, into the frightening empire of that which exists in each one of us. That is exactly why Pavelsko can be as terrifying as any true genius. He intently and scientifically studies us from the inside, at times getting over the known brink. The visionary anatomist. 2. In the beginning was conspiracy. Pavelsko answers clearly and paradoxically at the same time, it is dual. Secret agents of being and non-existence appear in all key spheres of control of the modern world, directing all processes of civilization. It is from the superimposition of one on the other of energy vectors of two occult nets, that the fabric of actual, concrete history results. Generals and terrorists, spies and poets, presidents and occultists, church fathers and heretics, mafiamen and ascetics, Freemasons and naturalists, prostitutes and holy saints, salon artists and activists of the workers' movement, archaeologists and counterfeiters, all of them are only obedient actors of a saturated conspirological drama, and who knows, which social identification shelters a higher initiate. Often, a gangster or a beggar turns out to be the curator of a president or the pope, and a military leader or a banker act as puppets of a salon poet, behind whose grotesque and fantastic personality one finds a cold guru and architect of brute political history. 3. Against demons and democracy. Star of an Invisible Empire is Pavelsko's last and key novel. In it, the threads from earlier books are tied together. The work depicts transcendental meta-history, of which our author is a chronicler, as nearing its final outcome. Here is a summary, on the entire planet, and especially in France and Portugal, and also in Peru and Mexico, magical acupuncture spots of the occult West, agents of non-existence constructed black pyramids, physical and superphysical objects, intended to support direct intrusion of demonic energies, hordes of Gogs and Magogs. This apocalyptic project has a secret name, the Aquarius Project, since in accordance with astrological symbolism, the era of Aquarius, which brings with it not happiness and harmony, as agents of non-existence are trying to assure humanity, but disintegration, rot, chaos, and death. Dissolution in lower waters is about to dawn. The hero of Star of an Invisible Empire, Tony D'Antimont, depicts the prophetic vision of onset of the Aquarius epoch in this way: I see together with Lovecraft the potting around of enormous foul masses, moving in endless waves, stepping over the last remaining crystal structures of resistance of spiritual elites. I am gazing, in ecstatic powerlessness of my hallucinatory awakening, at the shimmering black foam. The foam of black disintegration, terror of democratic stench and frightening organs of these convulsing corpses, which, in the makeup of dirty whores with a deceitful smile, with the California beach smile of European anti-fascists, with the smile of mannequin whores in flickering windows, so I would define it, are preparing a final defeat, leading us to a destination which they themselves do not know, or, more precisely, know it too well. On the way there with relish sucking out our bone marrow, this is the hallucinatory leaden mantle of human rights, this fecal vomitory discharge of hell. Although by saying so, I am insulting hell. Servants of Aquarius, opening the way into the human world to black shells of contemporary twilight, are trying to present their unnatural advent as a blessing, as salvation, as the limit of evolution, hiding their true nature, vomito negro. Black vomit, under the political and spiritualistic catchword New Age and New World Order. But against Aquarius, in which the entire terrible, metagalactic potential of the network of non-existence, finding its final incarnation in the New World Order, is concentrated, fight the representatives of a secret Western Order Atlantis Magna. A special role in the rituals of this order is played by the woman, known under the mystical name Alicorn Mordor, or the red-brown unicorn. In physical reality she carries the name Jane Darlington. But the true persona of this woman principally goes beyond the bounds of individuality. More likely, she represents in herself some sacral function, divided among all women of the order, whose personal and everyday relations among themselves reflect an ontological hierarchy of being itself. One of them corresponds to spirit, another, to the soul, the third, to flesh. Men of the order, including the main character Tony D'Antimont, are also hardly individuals in a strict sense. Deaths and adultery, the depiction of which fills the novel, illustrate the especially functional essence of the main characters. The ritual death of one of them only intensifies conspirological activities of another, and their wives, in the process of committing adultery, find out that in essence they remain loyal to one and the same being. So, Atlantis Magna weaves its continental web to struggle with the Aquarius conspiracy. On a higher transcendental level, a ritual tantric realization of eschatological occurrence, connected with the appearance of the consoler and the wife. Only on this level is it possible to defeat the builders of black pyramids. Preparation and organization of the mysterious ritual of the Red Circle composes the main part of the plot. Members of Atlantis Magnum on the way to this procedure make symbolic voyages, analyze mystical texts, work at finding true causes of political transformations, research strange aspects of history of some ancient European families, decipher esoteric ideas, which appear as leaks in tabloid press, endure romantic and erotic relationships, experience assassination attempts, become victims of kidnapping and torture. But the entire concrete body of the captivating, almost detective novel is really an uninterrupted reading and clarification of interconnected visionary reality of the final event of history, appearance of the great Eurasian Empire of the End, Rinum Sacrum or Imperium Sacrum, reflections of which can be seen in all aspects of modern world. On the political level of the conspiracy, the heroes of the novel also act aggressively and decisively. Spiritual resistance to the New Age, neo-spiritualism, for the representatives of which, from Alice Bailey to Duchardin and Sai Baba, Tony D'Antimont offers to establish an occult super Auschwitz, super Maidanek, projects on political resistance to the New World Order, Americanism, and liberalism, which forces the agents of being to weave webs of planetary conspiracy with participation of all political forces opposing mondialism. Palestinian terrorists, underground groups of European neo-Nazis, social revolutionaries and members of the Red Brigades, descendants of aristocratic families loathing democracy, secretly wishing for an end of the liberal epoch, members of the Italian Mafia, Gaullists and admirers of Franco, revolutionaries of the Third World, shamans of America and Asia, communist leaders, German bankers, all of them become participants in the geopolitical project, directed towards the recreation of the final Eurasian Empire. Diplomatic intrigues, foreign trips, confidential talks and collection of information compose the political aspect of the conspiracy of agents of being and a special subject thread of the novel, superimposed on occult conversations and long esoteric monologues of the characters. Pawielsko's novel does not follow the traditional logic of a finished tale. It is significant that it ends on a half word on page 533. The entire preceding plot sees the reader close in on the eschatological outcome of the occult war, but here the literary world ends, and actual reality sets in. The majority of characters in the novel are historical figures, some of whom have died, others still alive. Books and texts quoted in the tale do really exist. Many episodes and retold legends are also not made up, although quite a few are fictional. Significant detail: the majority of mentioned names are furnished with dates of birth and death. After reading Star of an Invisible Empire, a question naturally arises: what have we just read? A novel? Fiction? Fantasy? Surreal literature? Or, perhaps, an esoteric tract? Or the real revelation of the hidden motive of contemporary history, seen from the position of metaphysical completeness in its entire volume, to the other side of hallucinations, of which, in effect, consist all banal, everyday assumptions that explain nothing and are as far from the truth as imaginable? Jean Pavelska himself, in a dedication adorning a copy given to me as a gift, describes his novel, most secret and dangerous initiational novel, where absolute love gives its final weapon to absolute power and lays the occult basis for a future great Eurasian empire of the end, which will signify heavenly kingdom, rinum sanctum. No more, no less. 4. Shiva, the Red Brown. During one of our conversations, when I was explaining the meaning of the term hours in Russian political terminology, Pavelsko lit up and showed me the place in one of his early novels, mid-1970s, where he providentially uses the same term in an amazingly similar fashion. Ours for his were members of the Conspiracy of Being, secret network of agents of influence, who are united by a common occult goal to the other side of political disagreements and which resist the cosmopolitical and profane civilization being established on the planet. More than that, my Italian friends sent me a copy of Pavelsko's article from the late 1960s, in which he talked about Eurasianism, geopolitical project of the continental bloc, about the necessity of a Russian-German alliance, reanimation of the Molotov-Ribbentrop Pact, and even about the necessity of rapprochement between the Reds and the Browns in a united, revolutionary, anti-Mundialist front. How strange that the texts of this amazing man, popular only as literary works and provoking a condescending smile in academic traditionalists, with an almost prophetic clairvoyance, describes with a warning that, which became political fact only in the last few years far from Europe, in Russia. All this suggests uneasy thoughts concerning the true nature of this literary genius. In the end, who are you, Mr. Pavelsko aka Commodore Altavilla? Whoever he is unquestionably Red Brown, if only because all of his sympathies were on the side of a mysterious feminine figure, called by some really existing initiatory societies the Red Brown Unicorn, Licorn Mordor. But it must be noted that the French word Mordor means, more precisely, Red Brown with gold or a shot of gold. Besides the disdainful and pejorative term Red Brown, which has long been used to label the most interesting political forces in Russia, there exists a royal shade of this color, as a final eschatological coronation with alchemical gold of the great continental Eurasian revolution, which ours, secret and obvious agents of being are preparing and implementing today. Another character of the sacral tradition is represented by this color. We are talking about the Hindu god Shiva, liturgically called Red Brown and Frightening. The personality of this god is close to the element of our Red Browns. Yes, this element is frightening and devastating in its external manifestation. But it is exactly the terrible, Red Brown Shiva that serves as the protector of the mystery of eternity, opening in its completeness at the moment of the end of time, negating with its terrible appearance the beginning of the era of Aquarius. Red Brown Shiva is the guardian of tradition of sacral love, Tantra. That Tantra, to which Jean Pavelsko devoted one of his first books, The Merciful Crown of Tantra. Agents of the inner continent are awake. Already there appears on the night sky of our sickening civilization a magic star, heralding the soon-to-be transformation of the internal into the external. This is the star of an invisible empire, Empire of Jean Pavelsko.